I have a favorite pancake mix. Each box says, just add water. Just adding water can do some amazing things. Adding water is so important that Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. For this lesson, and for the coming year, we want to, as a congregation, focus on the idea of adding water. About a week ago, you didn't see it because it was in a different community, but about a week ago, I was reading through a newspaper, and on the front page, there was a newspaper article with a quote-unquote nativity scene. This article talked about how this nativity scene had some live animals, and how as they were trying to keep this going, some of the animals wandered off, and how the animals needed to be brought back. As I was reading through that article, what struck me most was the lack of an explanation. The author of this article apparently assumed that all the readers would know what a quote-unquote nativity scene is. In this picture, there were no signs to indicate, well, this is Mary, and this is Joseph, and this is baby Jesus, and so forth. There are a number of reasons to believe that Jesus was not born in the month of December. However, our culture, as we look at America in general, has, in many respects, a basic understanding of the Christian faith. How many people have you met who have seen a Bible and they say to you, what is that book? What's that book about? I've never heard of the Bible. Or how many of you have used the name Jesus Christ and someone said to you, who's Jesus? I don't know anybody. I've never heard of anybody named Jesus Christ. Or who has known of someone who drove by a church building and they said, what's that? What takes place there? I'm curious about what that building is and what the people who go there do. There is a lot of religious ignorance in America. That's certainly true. But at the same time, as we think about America, it is not a country that is like some backwoods tribe that we might find in Africa. A lot of seed, as Jesus described it when he talked about God's word, a lot of seed, the basic information about the gospel, has already been planted in America. And some of that seed is now facing some difficulties. Some of it's close to dying. Some of it has sprouted and definitely needs to be revived. But overall, there is still a basic religious framework in America. And over the years, I think preachers have perhaps made things a lot more complicated than they need to be. If you have listened to a lot of preachers, you may have heard some sermons, or maybe in some Bible classes, someone told you, go out and evangelize. And that was the basic message. That was the gist of what was communicated. Well, that message is right. But maybe the presentation of that information could have been improved. About 2 weeks ago, I was in Columbia City, a community a little over an hour from here, and I was there for a preacher's meeting. As I left the building, I noticed on the wall that there was a fundraising thermometer. This congregation is trying to amass about $100,000 to start a building project. And they have had a few thousand dollars committed to that fund, but they are very far from what they think that they need. As I walked by this graphic, I was struck by how much money they have and how much money they need. There is on this wall thermometer a great span as far as the distance between the two. And I thought, that if I were worshiping in this congregation and I were seeing that on a regular basis, that would be discouraging to me. I probably should have known better, but I picked up the phone and I called the preacher at that congregation. I said, Larry, I should probably keep my mouth shut, but I'm not going to do that. I want to tell you how I felt when I walked by that thermometer. I said, I think if I were looking at that on a weekly basis, I'd be discouraged. And he said, well, you're not the first one. He said, we've had some other members make that same comment. He said, we're going to revisit that in the next business meeting. We can have a similar problem when it comes to communicating the gospel to others. People are told, well, go out and share the gospel. And when people hear that, when Christians hear that, they feel intimidated. That sounds like you're asking me to do so much, to go from here to there. And that is many, many steps, more steps than I'm willing to take. What if we looked at things in a slightly different way, from the perspective of 1 Corinthians 3, especially verse 6, watering and planting? We've already mentioned, as far as America, people are basically familiar with the Bible. They're basically familiar with Jesus. They're basically familiar with heaven and hell. A lot of seed, a lot of the basics have already been given to America. And in many cases, half the work is done. What is often needed in our society, in our culture, is watering. For the coming year, the elders of this congregation would like to put an emphasis on watering the seed. There is no bulletin this week because I was out of town with Teresa. But beginning next week, we plan to have something in the bulletin, not only next week, but on a regular basis, which will deal with this very topic. We want to see something new in our bulletin that reminds us about watering the seed. There's going to be some, well, we may change this up a little bit as we get further into the year, but we want to have something in the bulletin week after week, which reminds us to think about and reminds us to water the seed. Rather than skip over this question on a weekly basis, we want to answer it as it's in the bulletin. To keep track of this, we're going to have in there hopefully some kind of record-keeping tool. We don't want to create some kind of contest. We're not looking to create bragging rights for somebody, but we simply want to become a more effective Christian in the area of watering the seed as we enter into a new year. Now, I've known for a couple of months that a sermon on this topic needed to be preached. The elders have discussed this topic on more than one occasion. And as we discussed this topic, one of the questions that kept coming up, one of the questions that was begging to be answered would be, how do we define? How can we define what it means to water the seed? If we have someone coming up after the lesson and they say, what does it mean to water the seed? What qualifies as watering the seed? Well, that's a question that needs to be answered. So I might say, our Lord Let Me Grow program. If we send out a Bible study with that work, does that count as watering the seed? What if we have a child? What if we have a grandchild? And with that child, with that grandchild, we have a discussion once or twice during the week. Would we count that as watering the seed? What if, as we think about social networking, maybe it's on Facebook, maybe it's on Twitter, we use a Facebook account or we use some other social networking account to share something about God. Does that count as watering the seed? What if we ask someone to service us, someone new, someone that we've asked in the past? Would that count as watering the seed? What if we help someone in a certain way? And with that help, we let them know that we help because we're a Christian. Would that count as watering the seed? What about someone who no longer worships God in a public manner? If we encourage them to come back and once again worship with the congregation in a public way, would that count as watering the seed? Who and what counts when it comes to watering the seed? When we think about the secular realm, when it comes to watering a seed, if you've ever done that, maybe you've planted a garden, maybe you've done something small in the house, and as you think about watering the seed, we are talking about somehow promoting the growth of that seed. A similar thing is true in the spiritual realm. When we talk about watering the seed, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, we are talking about somehow promoting, pushing, helping someone when it comes to the spiritual realm. We're talking about helping someone old, young, in the middle years, somehow growing closer to God and the truth. Maybe as we look at our contacts, the people that we interact with on a regular basis, the people that we interact with on a less frequent basis, maybe we know someone, we can name someone, at least one, who at the present moment is far from God. This person may not believe in God. Perhaps this person has indicated to us that he, she does not believe that the Bible is true. Have you ever thought about, for that kind of person, letting them know that you're praying for them? I found it interesting over the years of the people who say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe that the Bible is His word. You tell them that you're praying for them after they've been in a wreck. You let them know that you're praying for them after they know that they have a medical issue, that it requires surgery. I've had people thank me. They may not say that they believe in God, they may not say that they believe in the Bible, but still people are grateful if we do that. For the person who's involved with a false religion, and there are many, we might be able to water the seed by asking some well-placed questions. As we think about the Jewish people, we find that they had the seed, that is, the Word of God, was implanted in their lives. It had been sown in their lives. They were people who had enough seed sown in their lives where they believed in the one God. They were people who had had enough spiritual seed sown in their lives that they had a, for the most part, high regard for the Scriptures. They had enough seed sown in their lives where they were looking forward at some point for a Messiah to come. Jesus came, and He certainly did plant some seed in the lives of the Jewish people. But the Lord also did a lot of watering. And some of the watering that Jesus did came through asking questions. Consider some of the questions that Jesus asked while He was on the earth. What did you go out to see in the desert? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 8. Will a sheep fall into the Sabbath and everybody leaves it there? Matthew 12 and verse 11. Who's my mother? Who are my brothers? Matthew 12 and verse 48. And then in the book of Matthew chapter 20 and 21 and verse 42, He said, have you never read the Scriptures? Jesus wanted to water the seed that was in the lives of the Jewish people. And sometimes the Lord put water on that seed by simply asking questions. Questions get the attention of people. Questions draw people in. Questions arouse interest. Questions stir sometimes people to action. Some might say, well, Jesus, yes, he had all these questions. Jesus knew the questions to ask. I don't know what questions to ask to help water the seed. Well, suppose we let the person have some interaction with us. Have you ever had a person come to you and say, I attend such and such religious group? Several of us have. Suppose that a person were to do that in the coming year. A person, for whatever reason, says, I attend, in their words, Church X. After we hear that, have you ever thought about asking, why do you attend that religious group? They've told us where they attend. We follow up with that and ask them, why do you attend that religious group? Why is not an offensive question. We're not putting them on the defensive. When people share that information with us, we can continue that conversation by asking a simple question. Questions are a natural part of life. And we can use that question to help water that seed for God. I think you'll find, if you have a person make that kind of statement, I attend church XYZ, whatever it may be, and you ask them why they attend that religious group, you have some step back and they say, I've never thought about that. I can't give you an answer at this moment why I attend this particular religious group. Maybe at a later time, a day or two, a week passes, and they will come back and say, well, here is why. This is the reason that I attend this religious group, or I have this religious faith. Another way, another easy way to help water that seed, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, is doing good deeds. Last Friday, Teresa and I came back to a plowed driveway. I don't know how much snow we had. I'm guessing that there probably was at least 6 inches in our area. We still don't know, as of this morning, who plowed our driveway. But let me propose this for consideration. We have a new neighbor. Neighbor's been in for about 3 weeks. And suppose that our new neighbor had plowed our driveway. Now, he didn't, because I asked. But suppose our new neighbor had plowed our driveway. And eventually we find out what our new neighbor did. And we thank that new neighbor for plowing our driveway. As we thank our appreciation for what that neighbor did, here is his response. That's how the people in the congregation where I worship work. That's how the people at my church behave. Can you imagine the impact that would have had on us? You're welcome. But this is how the church where I attend behaves. Plowing snow, raking leaves, helping clean a house, taking food to the needy. Do that good deed. And then with that good deed, let that person know the reason behind the act. Don't keep people from realizing what they can have as well. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul said, you are witnesses. You're our proof. You know. You're our witnesses. How holily and righteously and unblameably we behaved ourselves toward you that believe. Paul said, you can attest to the kinds of lives that we lived when we were in Thessalonica. Paul showed the Thessalonians what it means to be a Christian. He used the resources at his disposal to not only plant, but also water the seed among the Thessalonians. We can water that seed, oftentimes on a regular basis, by showing people simply what it means to be a faithful child of God. Watering the seed should be part of the Christian life, which is almost automatic. You think about the qualities that Paul listed in Galatians 5. Peter has a list as well, they're smaller. But Paul's list in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, those are not mere internal qualities. But those are qualities which should show externally as well. They're not like rare coins that we stick in a safe somewhere, but those qualities should typify our lives. Those traits need to be real traits that we demonstrate to people on a regular basis. We've just finished a time of year when a lot of people have shown some extra tolerance. If a person is offended by something, people sometimes, they wave it off. They're thinking, well, it's Christmas. We're not too worried about that. You hit my car or you said something that I didn't like. That's okay. No problem. But imagine being the employee, the person, the neighbor, the individual in school who practices what not only Paul said in Galatians 5, But what Peter said as well, and doing that day after day, really living the Christian life and letting others see it, letting others know why we're doing what we're doing, helps water the seed. Paul, as he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, he talked to them in terms of setting forth your light, letting people see what you do. That also helps water the seed. There are a lot of ways to kill the seed. A lot of ways to kill the seed in not only the secular realm, but in the spiritual realm. As Christians, we should be individuals who are involved with bringing that water and letting the seed have the water on a regular basis, day after day. Some of the seed that we might like to water, some of the seed that we might try to water may seem dead, or it may seem like it's bad seed. There may have been in the past people that we've worked with, people that we've talked with, people that we've pled with, people that we have prayed for, and in spite of all our efforts, we've given the very best watering that we can give, and yet there still seems to be no response. For those who are in that category, may I suggest, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that you still give them some good douses throughout the year. Don't forget about them. Take that watering can and still continue to put water on them. When you find the people who are mean, the people who are ugly, the people who are unkind in the coming year, say to yourself, I'm going to get my watering can and I'm going to give you some good douses as well. When you find those that are weak in the faith, when you find those who are in danger of falling, think once again about 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That seed is struggling. That seed needs some water. And maybe we're the person that can come along and offer them the water that they need. Fill the biggest can of water that you can fill. If you can carry two cans, figuratively speaking, grab two. Be liberal in how you dispense that water. And then once you've used the water in your can or your bucket, go back and get more. Learn to water the seed of God's word. Don't forget about the planting. That's also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But also, learn to water. And try to concentrate on that in the coming year. Go through life and seek to be a first-class waterer. Now, if some of this information doesn't make sense to you, one of the elders will be glad to discuss it with you. But we do want to make 2018 the year of watering. And as we're doing this, hopefully with some help from the Bolton, and maybe you'll have some own ideas that you want to use in your household, consider keeping a record of the watering that you do week after week. As you prepare to begin a new year, maybe set a goal. For the first week of 2018, maybe decide in your own life that you're going to try to water the first week of 2018 in two different places. You have in your mind at least one intentionally, and maybe the other is going to come up as happenstance. And you are going to make sure that two times during 2018, you somehow water the gospel. You somehow are trying to push, promote, help a person grow closer to God in some way. As you look at your progress by the end of weeks 4 to 6, try to be in a position where you are watering that seed at least one day per week for God. When we can get to at least one day per week, do that on a weekly basis. And see how many times you can do that for 2018. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. As we come to a new year, will we follow that inspired example? Consider that as we stand and sing the selected song.